Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. And Thursday's always open for us, but since tomorrow's a best-of show, I want to remind you to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a three-day fun fest. Kevin doing parades. Kevin going to Pocono. Kevin stalking drivers.
That will definitely happen. There will be an autograph session.
No.
They're actually enticing you to do it because they're having an autograph session in the fan area. So that's where I'll be hanging out before 12 noon.
That's terrific. All right. So that's all coming up this weekend.
Drivers get it. They know that their tickets are their paychecks are paid by fans, so they're there to promote the sport.
This is your anti-Tim Howard moment?
Something like that.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a moment. I'll talk about it just very briefly now, but before I get to it, I want to make sure that you get the best in domestics, imports, microbrews. Obviously, snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, when the weather's right, the pickle bar, whole thing. It's the best. I mean, I know it's Thursday. We always talk about this on Friday, but with the three-day holiday weekend and the loyalty of our good friends at Brewers Outlet, I want to make sure that they get their just due on our show this week because tomorrow's a best of.
And it's most definitely worth a stop before going to Pocono.
Oh, you got that right. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there's many of you out there. That's the only way you can watch the race. All right, so
that's wrong.
That was cruel, wasn't it?
That was cold.
That was very cold. It was meant to be cold, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was meant to be very, very cold.
How's the
meant to be very, very cold.
How's the weather up there near the Canadian border, eh?
It poured, but they're going to take the tarp off now.
So you're in Batavia for the third straight day, correct?
Yes. In fact, if I am here one more day, I get to vote.
You become an official citizen. Nice.
Absolutely. My son Mike and I went out. We played a round of golf this morning. So,
in between the raindrops.
We got that in. No. We got out. In fact, when we were driving from Rochester over, because he moved to Rochester this week. From Rochester over on the New York Thruway, there was a little bit of a shower. But then, when we got about 10 miles away, blue skies, fine. And we had an 8:15 tee time. We actually got out there about 20 after 8. We played the round in 3 hours and 40 minutes. Okay, 3:40, we played the round. Literally, when I was putting for birdie on 18, all right, that's when it started to rain. Went up, tapped in for par. He tapped in for par. We're done. Got in the car, dropped off the club, and then it came down in buckets.
That's perfect timing. So, can't ask for anything better now.
Yeah, the timing could not have been any better.
Well, the thunderstorm line that went through your area about noon is now hitting our area, and there's a line of strong thunderstorms that stretch from Williamsport, just coming through State College, and down all the way to the Maryland border and beyond. And that's coming through our area now. So we have severe thunderstorm warnings right now for Montour, soon to be, I'm sure, for Northumberland and Snyder, but also Union County. So expect a thunderstorm to hit the area within the next hour to hour and a half.
Wow. Yeah, no, State College had bad storms within the past 45 minutes. Altoona, Huntington, they all had bad storms within the last hour, okay? So that's just to let everybody know weather-wise. But once this gets through, the weekend looks to be spectacular, and not just spectacular, but believe it or not, cool. I know they're talking about the big fireworks display in State College tomorrow night. They say, you know what, you may have to bring actually a jacket or a sweatshirt tomorrow evening because it will have cooled down that much. But it's going to be clear, clear, clear. It's going to be in the low to mid-70s tomorrow for the 4th of July. I know the Spikes have a home game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So I think that we get through today, your three-day weekend is going to be not just good.
And Steve, we actually do have a severe thunderstorm warning now for Columbia, Montour, yeah. Snyder, Union, Northumberland, basically the entire listening area now under a warning until about 4 o'clock for these storms you were talking about that just passed through State College about the last hour, right. 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, about an hour, 45 minutes ago through State College. Altoona got hit about an hour ago. Hollidaysburg, Duncansville, Tyrone, Huntington got hit pretty hard by some storms. State College got hit pretty hard by some storms, and now it's moving through. You mentioned Williamsport. They're struggling. But the weather tomorrow for the fireworks in State College, they're going to get probably 60,000 to 80,000 people to come out for that. They say you might need a jacket tomorrow night or a sweatshirt.
And Pocono looks perfect with temperatures in the mid-80s. Might need a little sunblock because it doesn't look like there's going to be too many clouds up in Long Pond for Sunday's race. And Saturday, the Indy Lights race and qualifying, that looks like high temperatures in the low 80s. So it's going to be a perfect day on Saturday, too. And I'll be tweeting pictures, Steve, so make sure you're following me on Twitter, okay?
If you'd like to call and save the show, it's up to you. Give us a call. Love it.
I'm excited. Can you tell I'm excited?
Well, yeah, you should be. I think it's a great race. Now, I think the one area that Indy has to do a better job in is, and this is where NASCAR is way ahead of them, NASCAR has far more participants in the Nationwide Series, and Indy needs far more participants in the Indy Lights Series.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, last year, I think up at Pocono, there were 6 cars in the Indy Lights race. I believe there's 10 that are racing this year for sure. A lot of the problems, though, come into the
money.
Well, that's it. That's where a lot of it is. I mean, it's much more expensive to put together an IndyCar team than it is to put together a NASCAR or Nationwide team or even an ARCA team.
Well, I'm just saying, though, but that's where you develop your future drivers, your future stars. That's where you develop them. Look at the number of drivers that have come out of the Nationwide Series that are now making an impact on the Sprint Cup Series. Right? Because they developed it, got a feel for it, and not only that, developed a following in the Nationwide Series among the fans. That's the most important part. You're talking about the 19-year-old who raced in Indy this year. He was in the Indy Lights Series last year. It benefited him exponentially.
Yeah, he won the Indy Lights Series. So, I mean,
yeah, they're only 2 cars. He beat the other guy. I got it.
That's not completely true. There are 13 drivers this year in the Indy Lights Series. Indy Lights is the step down.
It's like saying, for example, you know, I finished second in the Indy Lights Series. Why? That's great. How many were there? 2. Okay.
And it's
not
a very
good. I beat the I lost to the other guy consistently.
But it is a very entertaining series, though, with these 13 drivers in. I mean, they're first and third are separated by literally 6 points right now, 6 or 7 points.
Yeah, but the important part, that, I mean, that's all well and good. It's the name recognition and the development of name recognition that's the most important part of it. That fans get to know who these people are, because within 5 years, those should be some of the people you see racing.
Well,
that's the part that's important. That's where the Nationwide Series has been so important. Now, and this is, I mean, for example, I'll give you another example. Let's take the Pro Golf Tour, the Web.com Tour. I mean, the leading money winners in that get an opportunity to move up. Well, people who follow golf know who they are before they even tee it up on the PGA Tour.
Well, and you look down from the next step down in what they call the Road to Indy Series. It starts with the USF 2000s, then the Pro Mazda series, then Indy Lights. The good news is there is some hope there for, with the new promoters and everything of the Indy Lights series, that it gets better, because there's 27 drivers right now in the USF 2000s, and then the Pro Mazda series, there's 24 drivers. There's actually more drivers in the lower-end series than in the Indy Lights, which is the next step to IndyCar. So there is some hope there that that IndyCar is going to be able to get it back on track here, so to speak.
Well, going back to Pocono was a gigantic step forward. Getting Pocono back to 500-mile status is another emotional barrier clear that helps the series out exponentially. It's going to be a race that will probably draw maybe 40,000 fans on Sunday. I think that's another huge step forward for the series. I think the fact that Indy was run, for example, this year with the first 149 laps being incident-free was a huge step forward. People were racing. None of this, okay, bump and grind and all over the place. I mean, there's nothing more boring in racing than, oh, gee, they've throttled down to 75 miles an hour. Isn't this exciting as they go around again? And they went 149 laps, which tells me all about the skill, and it tells me all about the ability of the talent on the IndyCar series. I mean, when you 149 laps in the biggest race in traffic, incident-free, I think that speaks volumes about the quality of driver you have out there.
Well, this is going to be another three in a row start, or a three-car starts. So it's going to be three in every line.
Good.
And that's another thing that I think is really a big plus in the in the three big races, or what turned out to, has turned out to be the three big races on IndyCar's oval circuit, Indianapolis, Fontana, and Pocono, is the three-wide start. Because when you see three-wide coming down into turn one at Indianapolis, it's really entertaining. When you see it going down to Pocono, which is almost flat, it is very, very hard to make that left turn on the outside run, on the outside row.
Well, that's one of the things that's great about the series. You have the three 500-mile races, all where you can open up the throttle and go, all right? But they're, all three tracks are different. Indy is a rectangle. Fontana is an oval. And, of course, it's the tricky triangle of Pocono. Three different kinds of racing experience. And I think that's great. I think the fewer road courses they're on and the more ovals they're on, the better.
Yeah, that's the one problem I think the series has, is they have too many ovals right now. Or, excuse me, not enough ovals and too many road courses. And I think that's been a problem that they're going to have to fix soon. They tried to make it a little bit better by having a road course champion and an oval champion as well as the overall series champion. But again, you know, you've said it many times, I don't mind seeing cars back down to go into a turn and some strategy there, but the majority of the races have to be flat out as wide open as you can. I want to see them go fast.
Yeah, that's what people want. That's what people last year were impressed at Pocono. When we did the show at Pocono last year, what did everyone tell us? We can't believe how fast these people are.
221 is the record by Marco Andretti with the single lap record. 170-ish is the NASCAR fastest lap last year by Jimmy Johnson. That shows you how much quicker these cars can be.
It's 45 miles per hour faster. Or NASCAR is 45 miles per hour slower. That was cruel too, wasn't it?
I wasn't going to jump on that one, but yeah, they're slower. Never thought I'd ever say 170 was slow.
I know whenever I've driven with you, you've tried to get to that point.
Well, we get there and make good time, though, don't we?
Until we get pulled over.
I'm with Steve Jones. All right, you can go ahead. Works every time.
Oh, geez.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Remember, you need to stock up for the 4th of July weekend, and it's a legitimate three-day holiday weekend this time, with the 4th being tomorrow. So stock up. Microbrews, imports, domestics, they have them all. Soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and, of course, the pickle bar when the weather is just right. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Taking a look at the radar, the valley ought to brace itself. A very strong line of thunderstorms will be moving through within the next half hour. All right, brace yourself. Tim Owen of Blue Way Illustrated joins us. Tim, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us. It looks like June was a rather productive month for Penn State, wasn't it, on the football front?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Between all the camps, they got a couple commitments out of the month. Had a lot of great prospects come up on campus for camp, whether they were in the 2016 class or in the 15 class. Even some really top-notch 2017 prospects were on campus throughout the month of June. So, yeah, all around, real solid month. I mean, they finished it off with the most recent commitment of Manny Bowen, linebacker down in New Jersey from the beach down in South Jersey. Real good prospect, real athletic guy. And then they also got Miles Hartsfield to commit at a camp. I think it was actually the first camp session of June. He's a D-back from New Jersey as well. Real athletic, and is super fast. Projects as a kick returner, punt returner, you know, first at his Penn State career, and he'll probably play some corner, you know, later on once he develops a little bit. But, yeah, all in all, a great month. They had great prospects on campus. The most recent camp, I think June 22nd, was just loaded with talent. I've only been covering the recruiting scene for about 3 or 4 years, Steve, but that June 22nd camp, I've never seen so much talent at a Penn State camp. It was almost like I was at one of the all-star camps, you know, that Rivals holds. You had lots of 2016 talent, 2017 talent. All the 2015 commits were on hand. So, yeah, there's a lot of momentum going right now. I mean, it kind of is done now because of the dead period, as you're aware of. But, yeah, the month of June is pretty solid, I'd have to say.
So where are they right now on – let's take it one step further. I think a lot of people have a pretty good handle on where they are on February 15. Where are they and what kind of groundwork have they laid now on 16 and 17, in your opinion?
That's – I mean – one of the benefits to have 17 class of 2015 verbal commitments right now is a lot of the focus goes to those next two classes. I mean, more so the next class, 2016. But it allows a lot of time to start building these relationships early, which, as you know, that's all it is in recruiting, you know, relationships and building that foundation early. And the class of 2016, especially in the Mid-Atlantic region next year, is pretty stacked with good talent. You know, from the quarterbacks, offensive line, some real good defensive ends in the 2016 class. So they're starting to get the groundwork laid, you know, get to know these kids. They're not recruiting them real heavy at this point. You know, they're just kind of like almost making friendships, kind of, you know, reaching out, saying, hey, getting to know these guys a little bit better, letting these recruits, getting to know the coaches and the staff and the assistants a little bit better. So it's just kind of all about kind of easing your way in, you know, kind of making these recruits feel at home now when they are on campus. And then when it comes time to really make the push next in the fall, next spring, you know, it's not like they're going to be coming on too strong because they have a good solid base with a lot of these guys. Like I said, there's a lot of great talent, and that's kind of one of the benefits of, you know, recruiting so well early for this 2015 class is you're just starting in on the next class. And kind of what we do at BWI too. I mean, there's not a whole lot of news to be reporting right now on the 2015 class because there's 17 commitments already. You know, they probably only take 23-ish total commitments in the class of 2015. So, you know, we're starting to focus on the 2016 class as well, trying to put our feelers out, see who Penn State's targets, see who, you know, has a verbal scholarship offer this early in the stage. You know, we are switching gears a little bit, but, you know, the main focus still is on the class of 2015 for a few more months. And what Penn State's finding out right now, too, is getting these early commitments in the 2015 class, you know, they also kind of have to keep recruiting these kids. Even though they're committed, you know, some of these guys want to go take some other visits, check out some other schools, you know, maybe take a visit with a teammate or two. So even though they're committed, you know, Franklin and the guys, they still have to kind of keep that relationship going. And they do. You hear James Franklin talk about that all the time. You know, the recruiting period doesn't really ever end until they sign that letter of intent in February. So, you know, it's a mixture of the two things right now, you know, to keeping those 2015 commitments secure and then, yeah, looking ahead to the 2016-17 class where there's a lot of talent to be recruited. And we'll be getting to know those names quite a bit here over the next year or two.
We talked about how valuable the elite camp was for basketball earlier this week. We know Penn State has reaped incredible fruit out of its camps over the years. They were one of the first ones to do it. How important now is the James Franklin style of camp and how his assistants work it and the value to it?
Well, I mean, you hear all the recruits, they always talk about the energy of the staff. You know, they're all so close. You know, they've all come up together from Vanderbilt, most of them at least, most of the coaches. And so they just have this real strong rapport built up among each other. And the recruits really see that. They feed off of it. And, you know, when they go to these camps, they get to be coached by them a little bit, see how they work. And that energy is what, you know, most of these kids talk about. But what's kind of funny is when they do get these top recruits on campus, especially the younger guys in the 2016 class, if they're the premier guys who've already gotten a bunch of scholarship offers, they'll be invited up to camp. But the coaches are like, hey, don't worry about camping. Let's just hang out, you know, sit on the sidelines, see how we run things, you know, check out our facility, check out the weight room, the locker room. You know, just kind of take it easy. Because some of these top prospects, you know, they've seen all they've needed to see already. You know, they don't need to be doing any more scouting or anything as far as that goes. So they get these top prospects on campus, and they just kind of let them sit back and relax a little bit and just kind of see how things are done. Kind of like a first-hand perspective. But it's kind of cool. You know, you get some prospects on campus who, you know, they're going to be doing the drills, all the workouts, hoping to earn a scholarship offer. Then you have another tier of prospects who already have that scholarship offer. Lots of scholarship offers, in fact, you know, from all over the country. So they don't necessarily have to prove anything more. They just kind of sit back and relax and get to know the staff a little bit better, more on a personal level. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a different approach, you know, for as far as, you know, this new staff goes, as far as camp goes. But yeah, I think it's making an impact. You know, you talk to some of these top recruits after they leave, and, you know, they kind of appreciate, you know, being singled out, for lack of a better term, you know, as one of those top prospects. They kind of just get a tour campus, kind of check out how things are run, and, you know, they don't necessarily have to, you know, put in the spot and work to earn that scholarship offer, because they already have it in their back pocket.
Right, and when Penn State came in, Ohio State did a little bit better recruiting into Pennsylvania, Michigan did a little bit better recruiting in Pennsylvania, so did Michigan State, as a matter of fact. Rutgers and Maryland are now in. Now, we know that Penn State has traditionally had success in Maryland, traditionally had success in New Jersey. Having Rutgers and Maryland in, does that actually, in the end, really help Penn State even more because of the Big Ten connection?
I mean, so far it appears that way. I mean, Franklin's got New Jersey on lockdown, and then, you know, the DMV area, he's working his way toward locking that place down as well, too. So I don't know if it's necessarily a direct relation, though, as far as Rutgers joining the Big Ten, Maryland joining the Big Ten, as much as it is just James Franklin and some of these coaches have some real strong roots to the area. You know, he spent a few years at Maryland, so he's got a real strong recruiting base down in that area. New Jersey, they just know him so well, you know, and Penn State has such a good foothold there right now. So I'm not so sure if it's as much to do with them joining the Big Ten or if it's just prior connections that are helping them out. But, you know, as they start to play each other, I think definitely that'll play more of a role. You know, you're going to have New Jersey kids that, you know, we'll see Penn State coming into Rutgers and any Big Ten team for that matter. You know, they're going to start seeing schools like Wisconsin, Michigan State, you know, Nebraska, schools a little farther away that maybe they wouldn't have seen play or seen in person beforehand, but now that they're in the Big Ten, they're going to be right there at Piscataway and, you know, playing right up the road. So I think it kind of will open up the recruiting territory for the entire conference, maybe not just for Penn State, because the success you're seeing right now in those two areas, you know, I think that's just from previous connection. They know a lot of people in these areas, and, you know, it's really paying off, and especially New Jersey. You know, you follow some of the Rutgers fans and some of the the reaction to some of Penn State's recruiting success in New Jersey. And there's a lot of scared people over there that, you know, how are they going to be able to recruit the talent that they need in order to compete in this conference? So it kind of goes both ways there.
Tim, the players, James Franklin wants them to be take, really prefers to have them take both summer sessions, the 2 6-week sessions. Christian Hackenberg told me, for example, he took 2 classes in the first 6 week. This one that's just started, he's going to have 1 class. By having virtually all the players there for both sessions, which means they were there in the first session, which when the camps took place, how valuable was it to have the players on campus when the camps took place?
Oh, that was big. I mean, you had guys like Jordan Lucas, Malik Golden, Brandon Bell was working out with the linebackers. These guys, they were at every single camp session, you know, working out. And I believe that's a new rule the NCAA passes for this year, that, you know, they're actually allowed to work out on camps now as coaches. And
right.
I really think that helped out a lot. I talked about Miles Hartsfield earlier, the first commitment that Penn State got in June, the defensive back. He got a lot of time to work out with Jordan Lucas, you know, one-on-one during those camps. And, you know, that worked both ways. One, you have Jordan Lucas, who's going into his third year, has made some great strides since he got to Penn State and, you know, could be an all-Big Ten performer this coming season. So you've got a real good, you know, he's teaching good lessons, good technique, you know, Hartsfield. So that's one. And then two, you're also having that relationship starting to be built. You know, Hartsfield commits, and he's also already starting to get to know these players that are already on the team, you know, starting to become part of that family you hear Franklin talk about so often. So kind of, you know, it's two separate, you know, factors there of having those players at camp. And talking to some of those players after camp, you know, they really enjoyed it too, you know. Some of these guys want to be coaches down the road, or maybe at least think they want to be coaches now. So this kind of gives them a little bit of a taste of what it's like, get their toes wet, to see what it's like to deal with these high school prospects. Because, you know, it might not seem like they've been out of high school long, but, you know, it changes quite a bit once you've been up in college for a few years and have to go back and work with the 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. So, yeah, I think they like it just as much as the recruits enjoy it, you know, being able to work out with an all Big Ten player, you know, be coached by, you know, Jordan Lucas, by, you know, I haven't seen Hackenberg there much yet this year, but, you know, say if the quarterbacks, right, Michael O'Connor, for example, he was helping out the quarterbacks at the last camp. So being able to, you know, help be coached by an Under Armour All-American like Michael O'Connor, you know, that really does, it resonates with the recruits on campus. And it only
has, Sam, as always, you know. Oh, no question. And Tim, as always, thanks so much for the time you gave us. Hope you have a great 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, you too. Hey, real quick, I think you struck a chord with your soccer analysis last time with my coworker Ryan Snyder. He says U.S. is on the up and up. He says he wants to debate you with that sometime, Steve.
Tell Ryan 0-2-1 is 0-2-1.
He's listening.
Ryan, you can't debate 0-2-1. You're 0-2-1. Any team that you follow is 0-2-1. You're mad. Okay.
I don't follow soccer.
I'm sorry.
To him, but I thought I saw some good signs. We'll see, but I get where you're going with that.
I mean, I saw some good signs too, but 0-2-1 is 0-2-1. As Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. All right. Hey, Tim, thanks.
All right. Enjoy the holiday, Steve.
Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We roll through the afternoon, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, the Sunbury Motors studio is mobile today. Kevin has been aching to talk about the Pocono race. We will do so at 3:59:30.
Oh, great. I got some time to be prepared then. Yeah, you know, I do want to mention, though, and we heard about it in the news earlier today, legendary coach Joe Jazz Dimnick died in Mount Carmel, head coach for 30 years, an amazing record of Mount Carmel, part of that 800-plus win all-time team down at Mount Carmel. 267, 81, and 7 was his record. That's just at Mount Carmel. He also coached the Purple Demons in Cole Township in the mid-50s for a couple of years, coached a couple of years at Susquehanna and also in the Levittown area, then assisted at Shamokin, but took over the reins in Mount Carmel when Mike Terry died. I think it was the end of the 61 season. Then he took over in 62 and continued to coach until 92 with 267 wins, 81 losses and 7 ties. And Steve, the current coach, Carmen DeFrancesco, played under Jazz Dimnick. And to show you how successful Jazz teams were, Carmi, I believe, was 44-1 in his high school teams at Mount Carmel. That's how dominant this program has been, not only through the 800 wins, but through the 30 years that Jazz was part of that program.
Amazing. Impacted a lot of lives and leaves quite a legacy. Our sincerest and deepest condolences to his family and to all of his friends and to all those who had the privilege of playing for him. All right. We're not quite to 3:59:30 yet, so no Pocono yet, okay?
All right. Well, that's all right. I had a good first 15 minutes of the program talking about it. So, I mean, yeah, I'm still excited to go up there. Should I get any autographs for you, by the way?
We were off the air during that time, so I really don't care what you did.
That's all right. I still have it on the archive at stevejonesshow.com. So.
Any autographs?
Yeah. Would you like Marco's autograph? Mario? Maybe I'll get Mario to sign the Arrivederci Mario wine bottle that I have. I thought you'd like that one.
I can't. I don't even know. I feel like the hamster in the Sprint commercials. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, really.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know what to do with that. I mean, that's just, wow. Nobody knows what to do with that. All right. Almost at 3:59:30. When I hear the music, then I'll open the door for you to talk about Pocono.
Well, I can play it earlier if you'd like.
No, it's okay. Man, we have to get to the news, and it has to be timed out.
Oh, all right. I just thought I could help, maybe.
Well, I mean, I know you're anxious. I get that.
I'll even anxious. Save my prediction for the race for that moment, too.
If you could do that at 4:03.
No, I'll do it before 4.
That'd be great.
Yeah. No, I'll do it before 4.
Why?
Well, I want to make sure that I'm on the record with it.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Once we get there, okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I can feel the music starting. Hang on, I got to get myself prepared. I got to take a deep breath. Okay, here we go.
No, actually, coming up at the next hour, we'll be talking more about this and other things, by a lot of other different
probably
things.
Probably a lot of other things.
Brewers right. Outlet and Reagan Street in Sunbury is the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I have Marco winning the race and Ryan Hunter-Reay finishing a close second where they fight it out for the win, and everyone at Pocono is ecstatic because every time Marco takes the lead, there's a huge cheer at that racetrack. There's my prediction.
It's the exact same prediction you made last year.
Yeah, and I would have been right if it wouldn't have been for fuel. Stupid 400-mile race.
Oh, gee. I hate when strategy gets in the way of things.